AJ Benza, the OG in gossip. A couple days into 2025, it's sort of panning out to be a very scary year already. So let's get into some of the top stories that are happening right now.
If you saw Joe Biden talk about the New Orleans bomber, it's like sending your grandfather up to make a speech at the wedding and he can barely talk.
Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. I mean, this feud just gets worse and worse.
Now, I don't like Justin Baldoni at all. This guy, to me, came out of nowhere. I think he's a put on it.
Meghan Markle, she announced she's going to be doing a Netflix show.
Everything they've done, her and Harry, has just went in the shitter. Nothing went out.
AJ, why does everybody hate them? Kristen Cavallari.
The fact that she's so open about her sexual conquest and this guy was my fuck buddy and this Morgan Wallen was great in bed. When a man hears a girl talk like that, it makes you go, whoa, Jesus Christ. The irony of the Diddy trials, it's going to start the same day as the Met Ball. It's going to be amazing. I still have a sinking feeling that he's not going to get the kind of time he deserves.
Guys, we have a really fun episode today. We are back with AJ Benza, the OG in gossip. AJ, thank you for joining us on Misunderstood.
Thanks, sweetheart. You know what? Ever since you're the first person to call me the OG of gossip, and I love that expression. So don't ask me how. I was at a garage sale and I found these blocks of letters some person was selling in Hollywood with the like a mirror surface. So I bought the O and I bought the G. And I put them up above my bedroom door, OG.
I love it. Yeah. And I find it hard to believe that I'm the first person to call you OG.
I swear to God. Well, you know, I guess you think I'm old. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. No, it's good.
No, but the thing is, I think there was a lot of jealousy that went on in your day and age.
Oh my God.
People would really want to have that as a coveted
title. I love it. I love being called the OG. But no one ever called me that. You were the first to say it. I love it.
All right. Well, I love that I coined it. So
You did.
All right. AJ is here to talk to us about all things gossip. Right now, we are already a couple days into 2025. It's sort of panning out to be like a very scary year already. We got terrorist attacks. We have gun shootings. We have lawsuits. We have all sorts of drama. We didn't like slide into this year with this easy, peaceful, demure, you know, attitude. What are your thoughts so far on the year?
Well, look, 2024, and if I'm being really honest, the last 4 years to me were a complete crap show in America and Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that we're sliding into 2025. We slid into the new year with some problems because I think that's been par for the course. If you saw Joe Biden talk about the New Orleans bomber, it's like sending your grandfather up to make a speech at the wedding and he can barely talk. And I don't want to be an ageist, but he just doesn't need to speak anymore. And of course, we're going to find trouble before the year really kicks off. To me, 2025 doesn't kick off until Trump gets up on that inauguration stage and make his speech. Then I think we're really in 2025. Up until then, this is still Biden's country, unfortunately.
Right. I hear what you're saying. Do you think that it's going to be an issue come January 20th? Meaning, do you think this handover is all of a sudden going to be a big bang and everything is going to get moving and people are going to start getting deported? Like, I feel like there's a lot of anxiety that's heading into what January 20th is going to mean for everybody.
I'll tell you, in my mind, I was the first person to battle Donald Trump 25 years ago. I know how he fights. I know what kind of man he is. I used to hate him. Now I love him. And I'm not surprised by any of this. I think this is the way it was going to go. And I do think that once he's here, he's going to kick off what he said he's going to do with the deportations, which are so needed, and other things. I just appreciate the way he takes hold of things and gets things done as quickly as he can. So I'm not nervous. I've been waiting since that night that they said Biden won, and I lost all my social media handles that night. They definitely were targeting people who were pro-Trump, and I was for a few years.
Right.
So I can't wait, and I'm glad. I think everything will happen as soon as that day when he sits up there January 20th and makes his statements. Yeah, and America is going to get right back on track. I think a lot of huge things are going to happen for the betterment of the world.
It's interesting that you brought up Biden and his age, and this isn't about being ageist, as you just said, but yeah, it was a really terrible moment to see. Obviously the president needed to come out and make a statement. So we expected that. It could have been taped. There could have been so many other ways to do it. It was terrible. Nobody could even listen to what he was saying because you were too busy sort of taking in a breath of like, oh my God, this could be his last moment. And it was really sad.
Yeah.
Are you worried at all? I mean, Donald Trump is not a young man. Four years into this, he will be older than Biden, I think.
He's a completely different specimen than Joe Biden. Donald Trump, I don't think anybody can tell me with a straight face that he looks, sounds, and appears different than he did 6-7 years ago. I defy someone to say that. Okay. He hasn't aged in that respect. He's still knocking golf balls. He's still up there. You know, we saw him parading around the country with all the rallies, et cetera, two a day, playing to packed arenas. No. Donald Trump is primarily, and I don't mean this in a bad way, every president has had huge egos. You have to have a huge ego to be the president of the free world.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one like him when it comes to narcissism and how much his ego is inflated, how much he loves himself. He is in his biggest wet dream of his life. The fact that he came back and made this comeback. And I got to tell you, there are so many people on the left who are kind of walking over to the right and saying positive things about him. There are news organizations, a lot of techie geek billionaires in Silicon Valley have come and broke bread at Mar-a-Lago. No, I think America is in store for some great things the next 4 years. I think we finally are going to get back on track.
Okay. Well, I love hearing that prediction. We'll see how that goes. What did you do for New Year's Eve?
Rach, you're a mom. I'm a dad. I live with my 17-year-old son. My daughter's 20. I just stayed home. Matter of fact, I just got off a cold. I'm always sick when I do your show, but I was sick over the Christmas holiday. And all of us got sick. It was a nasty flu going around.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed home. You know, I'm the driver. I'm the designated driver. Who's going to a party? What time do I pick you up? You know, right. You got to drive up in the hills. It's just, so to me, it's like, you and I have had more fun on random Tuesday nights than New Year's Eve.
That is true. Don't feel bad. I stayed home too. I have my boyfriend's family, their entire family was here. My daughter.
Oh, cool.
Came, she was actually supposed to be with her dad that night. She came home to me. We all cooked dinner and played board games. Our new thing is board games and cards.
It's fine.
So, and then we did watch the ball drop, which
yeah.
I don't know if you watched any of that stuff. We flipped back and forth between the stations. What kind of shit show is that? Listen, I love Andy Cohen. I love Anderson Cooper, but together their chemistry and their drinking, it was like cringeworthy TV.
It is. Look at Anderson Cooper's not that kind of guy. He doesn't like alcohol. Every year we see him struggle to take shots. Andy Cohen loves to party. I came up with Andy in New York in the early 90s when he was, I think, at CBS, and I was the Daily News. We had the same birthday. I know Andy for many years. He loves to have fun. And, it is cringeworthy. But the fact that CNN, Whitney Cummings coming on and making her jokes and really knocking the left and knocking CNN and knocking the media and knocking Biden, I was so happy with that. But how far has CNN fallen to just accept that on their program at that hour with probably the biggest viewership of the year? It shows you where they're at and what they think of themselves. They've just lost all credibility.
Well, it was very strange. All the people they had on, I had to look up their names. I didn't know half of
Whitney's,
but half the people, the artists, I had no idea who they were talking to. And then at the end, when they had Andy's trainer come on, with Come no on. Shirt. I just it's had just, to change the channel.
I know. So and listen, I watched the East Coast feed. So by the time it was midnight on the West Coast, I was asleep for 90 minutes already.
Right.
Or napping until I had to get up. But no, I saw the ball drop. I watched CNN. I can't watch Ryan Seacrest. I can't stand that generic bullshit fun on network TV. But yeah, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it's a very queer New Year's Eve when Andy and Anderson hosted. I get a kick out of it, but I just feel like, I don't, it's true. I'm watching two gay guys have fun on New Year's Eve. And it's just not the way I've ever celebrated New Year's Eve with my friends and girlfriends. It's a different kind of scene. I like to check in on it, but I don't ever think I'm going to be highly entertained when I watch Anderson and Andy. Right. It's cringeworthy TV every year. And look, Kathy Griffin's not even on anymore. She was actually better than all this crap, even though she went down a horrible road. Kathy Griffin was way better than this shit.
Yeah, so, she was wonderful. I had her on my show this past year. It was an honor to finally get her to tell her side of the story. And I love, I don't know if you've been following her right now, but she's doing so well. She's back on tour.
Yeah.
And everyone's loving her. So I'm really happy for her. Well, but look, I thought she used to be great on that show too. I agree.
I love that. I love Life on the D-List. Kathy Griffin was great because she acted like one of us.
Yeah.
And then she got big. That's a good It happens to Bill O'Reilly, Howard Stern. It happens to so many people. Look, it happened to me. I was always a straight shooter, but when I got sent to LA for my own TV show and shows and movies and books and parties, and you start to get nice, you start to like kowtow to the cool crowd. You're not longer that person who shoots the truth. Mm. Kathy Griffin was that way for years. That's why people loved her. And then she got way too deep into the cool crowd, and then she got way too left, and holding up a severed Donald Trump head was just stupid. She should know better. But I'm glad she weathered the storm because she has talent and she is funny when she's not having to worry about her health and her career.
Right, exactly. Okay, so let's get into some of the top stories that are happening right now. And anytime you go on TMZ or any of these bigger, gossip show or gossip news sites, you are hearing about Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. I mean, this feud just gets worse and worse. And in the last 24 hours, there's been other lawsuits and federal cases. And now Justin Baldoni has launched his own suit against the New York Times for $250 million with nine other,
co-conspirator.
Yeah, but that's not the word. But anyways, nine other people are involved in the lawsuit.
So yeah.
And this is getting really dirty. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I have so many mixed feelings. First of all, on a personal level, I think Blake Lively's beautiful. I think she's incredibly talented as an actress. She's come a long way. I saw a movie she made with Anna Kendrick about a year ago called A Simple Favor. I liked it. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But in that movie, I said, wow, Blake Lively has really arrived as an actress. She did great. But then I said, you know what? Is she really acting or is she being her true self in this movie? A lot of actors sometimes just play themselves and it registers to you like they're brilliant, but they're just playing themselves. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean very calculated, very deliberate, some cattiness involved. Now, I don't like Justin Baldoni at all. This guy, to me, came out of nowhere. I think he's a put-on. I think all his shit about domestic violence, he's just trying to be woke and the perfect man. He loves himself in the mirror. I know a guy like him, many guys like him. I think most of this trouble is because of Blake Lively. I really believe that somewhere in her heart, she's got a husband who's a huge superstar with Deadpool and everything else. He's made money hand over fist. I feel like she wants the career he has, which is to say all of America loves him. There's not a bad word said about Ryan Reynolds. And it's very easy for her to position herself against Justin Baldoni. But this countersuit in which you get to see the timeline of what was said and the fact that Justin had receipts where Blake said he came in my dressing room when I was breastfeeding and it was very uncomfortable. And then you see his text with Blake saying, yeah, I'm going to be, what do you call it when you fill up the cup for your baby? Nursing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be nursing, but yeah, come on in. It's no problem. Like suddenly, you
or,
know,
or I think she said she was pumping or something. Pumping, yeah. Pump. She invited him in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But last week we thought, what a piece of shit. The guy just storms into a trailer while she's nursing. No, we didn't see the other part of the text. And the New York Times, you know, like I've had a problem with the media for years because when I did it, it wasn't important to be first. It was important to be right. First is great, but you better be right. You only got one shot at being right. And the New York Times and the things they did with this story, they wanted to be first. They wanted to have this story first. And as a result, I think they got burned. They didn't get both sides of the story. And now I think Justin Baldoni's countersuit for $250 million, you know, has a good shot at making them nervous and shaking in their shoes. I think that they're both a pain in the ass. I didn't read that book. I don't know if you did. And I haven't seen the movie. But I remember all the hubbub while they made the movie. It turned me off to see it. It was just too much news. I didn't care. And frankly, to be honest, I wasn't even sure who Justin Baldoni was.
Okay, so here, can I give you my opinion? I have seen the movie. I didn't read the book. I met a lot of people who read the book, who loved the book and wanted to see the movie.
Right.
I saw the movie. I didn't actually know. I mean, I knew a little bit that it was a domestic violence movie, but I went into it totally open-minded. Mm-hmm. I found the movie to be very good, very interesting. You know, rarely do we see a good movie these days.
I know.
Especially last year. I felt like it was really hard to come by. And I love documentaries and stuff like that because I haven't seen a good, big budget movie. Okay. Right. So to me, this struck me as a big budget movie. I don't know what the budget was, but they did a nice job. Okay.
Small, like $25 million. It made a lot of money.
Big budget in the way that it had some big actors,
sure.
A great story, a lot of, you know, effort into it, and a lot of PR behind it. So the thing was, is that, you know, it affected everybody in a different way. People were, you know, head over heels one way or the other about the movie, if it affected them from domestic violence or they just liked the actors in it. Okay.
Right.
So then we get to the point where the PR is happening for it. And you started to hear these rumblings about how she was not doing any PR, pushing the domestic violence, you know, being in support of people who were survivors and stuff like that. So, I mean, I started to hear that. I didn't really care. I mean, who gives a shit? Maybe it was too close to home. She didn't want to talk about it. What I did stop and notice was when she did that first interview with that woman.
Yeah, that was bad.
And the woman said, congratulations on your bump, meaning congratulations with being pregnant.
Right.
And she said, rudely, I just watched it again last night, as a matter of fact, congratulations on your bump. Basically calling the girl fat,
horrible.
And then refused to look at her for the rest of the interview. Yep. Now, that has nothing to do with Jason Baldoni.
But it does,
Well,
it shows you who she is.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. She wasn't offended by something that had to do with that. She was just being a plain bitch.
Right.
And it was terrible to see that. And the first thing I thought is, wow, she's gotten such a big rap for being Taylor Swift's best friend.
Right.
So everyone loves her and she has this really nice, you know, persona because everyone loves Taylor Swift. Well, and this just showed her real colors. She's an asshole. Okay. She's not a girl's girl. And that's what I thought. So then when I saw this lawsuit, I was like, that is aggressive. Something must have really happened for you to write such, you know, to do a lawsuit on something like this. But who is this guy, Justin Baldoni? I mean, no one knew him before the movie.
I know.
And so then you start to hear the details. Even reading the details, I kept saying to people, you don't know his side. You just have to hear it. You can't just hear her side. And yes, he might have had PR people, these girl bitches who didn't like her either and said nasty things.
Right.
That doesn't mean it happened. So let's just hear what happened. And now to hear his receipts, his timeline, it shows that she contributed to a lot of this. And I think with her ego, I mean, both of them obviously have such a huge ego.
Yeah.
But I don't know who gave her the idea to go down this road, but this is going to be a very messy ending for someone, if not for both. And I don't know. Yeah. I think they'll both be stained going forward with their own future.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very reminiscent of... Kind of. I mean, I know we've read articles probably from the same places. And, you know, there's even a possibility that maybe either one of them or both of them were maybe turned on with their sex scenes, and maybe things were really nice, and the coordinator they needed, you know, didn't have to say too much. And, you know, we don't know, because the movie set is so different than what people understand. Sometimes it's just business, and sometimes a love affair begins and there's no one that can stop it.
Right.
I don't know what happened here, but I just, between the press's rush to judgment and people's rush to judgment, and like you said, these little catty publicists and crisis managers, they are running Hollywood now. And it's just, it's gross when a 24, now listen, I know Leslie Sloan, the Blake's publicist for many years. She's on top of her game. She's tippy top. Leslie's been around 30, 40 years. So I tend to believe her. However, there's too much of a rush to judgment and there's too much of believe all women that's still lingering in the air. And I'm glad Baldoni decided, oh, fuck that. I'm going to fight. I'm going to show you what I got. And if you got receipts, good. Because people, like you said, they love to just assume, oh, no, we heard the story. No, you heard half the story. And you, in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. Unfortunately, we've reversed that. Now you're guilty immediately. And
I think on both sides, there are some truth. On both sides, there's probably some embellishment. And the truth is going to lie somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And I do think it will go to a trial. I think that this will be another
Johnny Depp,
Amber Heard, Johnny Depp type of thing. And people, you know, the public, the court of public opinion is really spoken. And up until maybe 24 hours ago, it was all on Blake's side. And now people are being like, oh, God, I don't like what this looks like.
I know.
So this is going to be very interesting.
It's a clash of egos. And then you got Ryan Reynolds behind his wife, who's huge.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's kind of weird that I used to be with William Morris. And the fact that they got rid of Justin and they still kept, I mean, they kept Ryan and Blake. And that's a big move by William Morris to drop Justin Baldoni immediately because of Blake and probably Ryan's word more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to reconsider. But look, there's so many movies in Hollywood where there's co-stars that have sex or in relationships in the movie and they can't stand each other. This goes back into the golden era of Hollywood. Even like Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger, 9.5 Weeks may be the most sensual movie of all time, sexual. They couldn't stand each other. He was eating raw garlic during the lovemaking scenes. Her boyfriend, her husband was there watching. It was a shit show. But boy, did they make that movie sexy.
Right. And so, same thing with Dirty Dancing. You always hear how Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey hated each other. And they have made such great chemistry on
the
screen.
Those are real pros. That's a real pro. These people right now, has Justin Baldoni really earned his stripes as an actor in Hollywood? I don't think so. Has Blake Lively? She's certainly coming on strong. And I think she's a decent actress, but she's not Hollywood royalty.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS.
To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, I want to bring up what you just mentioned a few minutes ago. Intimacy coordinators are becoming a big hot topic right now, too. We actually had one on last year who kind of came up with everyone from, you know, Pretty in Pink and The Big Chill and, you know, that whole group yeah. all the way until now. And that's what right. she does. She was a casting director, and now intimacy coordination is what she is hired to do. People still don't really understand what that is. She really broke it down. And for people listening that don't know what it is, it's someone that is hired to come on set and actually choreograph the lovemaking scene. So no one feels uncomfortable. So nothing illegal is happening. You see scenes all the time that look like people are having sex and they are not.
Right.
Because number one, it is technically illegal.
Right.
And number two, because it, you know, it can make people uncomfortable. So these intimacy coordinators, she explained, choreograph down to the very last move what is going to happen so it seems seamless, with, you know, for lack of a better word. And so it's interesting to hear that he is saying he had to see one alone, that Blake refused to go see one. But then I read also today that she complained that he improvised during the sex yeah. scenes. But, you know, I don't know if I think that that's terrible, because at it's the end of terrible. The day, you're improvising in a role anyway terrible. To make it better.
I did an independent movie years ago where I had a sex scene with a girl, and it's very awkward. There was no intimacy coordinator on set back in the mid-90s, but
right.
this girl, I mean, look, women were definitely treated differently in the industry. I remember I had this part as a drug dealing pimp on this movie that went to the Cannes Film Festival. It really didn't do anything, but it went there. And the Steven Seagal produced it, and his partner, Jules Nasso. And they came in with three headshots of hot girls and said, who would you want to be the girl in the sex scene with you? They let me answer. And I'm looking at three headshots of hot girls. And I picked one. I'm like, yeah, she's fucking, let's get her here. Disgusting, I know. But that was the industry. And when she was on set, I choreographed it with her. Do you mind if I pick your leg up here and then I could just kiss you? Do you want to, like, how do you want to do it? Which way you want to turn your head? Like, we're two adults and grownups, and we figured it out. And no one right. left feeling icky. I don't know how I'd respond to an intimacy coordinator, because sex, you know, if it's wild and it feels good, you can't really plan the next move. It just sort of happens. And sometimes sex is awkward and weird to see if you're not involved in it, but if it feels good for the two people, I think that deep down inside, there were maybe some feelings that arose between Justin and Blake. And of course, she can't have that because her husband is the almighty Ryan Reynolds. But I don't know. I just feel like maybe something, sparks flew. And let's face it, when you're in love or turned on by someone, you get catty and jealous and a little bit of a, you can be real pricky when it comes to arguing. Maybe that's at play here too.
Right. Well, that's interesting, because the opposite of love is hate. And, you know, you see this happen all the time. One feeling goes to the other. So yeah. it really will, as I said before, get messy, and we will see what happens.
Can't wait.
At the end. I cannot wait. Also.
All right.
Have you ever felt like you didn't quite fit in with the mainstream? Like, the clothes you wear should reflect your unique personality, not just another cookie cutter design, right? That's exactly how I felt when I discovered Empower by Heidi, a brand that's more than just apparel. It's a movement. Empower by Heidi celebrates everything that makes you, well, you. Their high-quality, ethically made clothing isn't labeled for men or women. It's for anyone who dares to express themselves. Inclusivity, body positivity, and self-expression are at the heart of what they do. Whether you're rocking a bold graphic tee, a cozy hoodie, or an accessory that makes a statement, every piece is designed to empower your authentic self. I recently ordered a bright pink sweatshirt from their collection because I loved its message of rebellion and humor. But when I got it, I was pleasantly surprised when I saw how cozy it was. The material felt like butter, and the colors in the sweatshirt were bright. People have stopped me on the street and asked me about it. I absolutely love it. You have to try it out. So what are you waiting for? Go to empowerbyheidi.com and use promo code misunderstood to get 10% off at checkout. That's empowerbyheidi.com. and use code MISUNDERSTOOD, spelled MISSUNDERSTOOD. Embrace your wild, your wonderful, your unapology authentic self today. Go to empowherbyheidi.com. Hi, everyone. It's Rachel Yucatel from the Misunderstood podcast, and I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess is a one-stop shop for all your holistic health needs. They offer a wide range of products, from castor oil packs and collagen to natural bug spray. They do the hard work for us, checking ingredients and investigating where each product is made so you can focus on finding what works for you. Holistic Goddess brings on recognized brands weekly, often focusing on women-owned brands in North America, and they personally try all the products before adding them to the store. It's always exciting to see what new products they'll feature next. If you're looking for reliable health solutions that keep the unique needs of women in mind and cater to all ages and stages, definitely check out Holistic Goddess. And for 15% off, use code UNDERSTOOD. All right, let's talk about somebody who also has been in the news a lot, Kristen Cavallari. She's everywhere. And what I've been seeing is these weird Instagram posts or TikToks, whatever, of her walking down the street with someone and running and having these conversations. She's everywhere out of nowhere, kind of. And I just looked her up this morning. She has a post from today or the last 24 hours about her feelings about the Kardashians. She has a post from 4 days ago spilling the tea on whether or not she slept with Morgan Wallen. A couple days before that, it was something else. So someone in her PR team is pushing out different articles to make her top story in the last couple weeks. Why do we think that's happening?
Well, I know that she's looking, her and her team are looking for a TV deal. A hardcore TV deal.
Like what?
Whether it's, well, kind of a dating show. I mean, look, this Kristen Cavallari, I think, is very attractive. You know, I get a kick out of looking at her, I got to be honest. And the fact that she's so open about her sexual conquest, and this guy was my fuck buddy, and this Morgan Wallen was great in bed, and this 24-year-old rocked my world. When a man hears a girl talk like that, it makes you go, whoa, Jesus Christ, I never know she was this sexual. It makes us stand up and listen. So I'm very... I'm very interested in what she has to say, but I've heard from people that they are really, her people are pushing hard for her to get some kind of a TV gig. And, you know, no one ever talks this much publicly and does this many podcasts that, frankly, I don't even know where these podcasts are, but she's on a podcast every day on top of her own, saying what she needs to say about love and relationships. So they're trying to market her as the next sort of, I don't know, wild girl. I don't know what you even want to, how you categorize it, but they want to capitalize on the fact that this girl's got a lot of stories to tell of the high and mighty celebrities in Hollywood. She was embedded into the Kardashian family, had a fling with Scott Disick. You know, she's been around. And I think if she wants to really tell some stories, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to listen to her. Right. She has a lot of dirt. And I think that she'll probably be successful getting some kind of low rent show somewhere on a streamer, and they'll see how it does. But they're definitely trying to bring her back.
Is your prediction like where she's telling stories, or where it's almost like the Bachelorette meets Wild, you know, Wild On or whatever?
I think it's more of that. I think it's more of that. I think it's more of a dating type,
where she's looking for love.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's time we make sure Kristen Cavallari has a man. She had the athlete, she has the children from the athlete, she has her fuck buddies, and you know, all the, and she's definitely had sex with a lot, but she's been in Hollywood a while and has been in that circuit, that early aughts circuit of the Paris, Nicole, Lindsay, you know, all those chicks.
Right.
Brittany, she had a ball. Kim. So she has a lot of stories to tell. It would be interesting because she seems to really want to stick to being completely honest. I like honesty. It's refreshing. I like looking at her. So I checked out a show.
So you're saying you would watch it?
Yeah, I like her. I think she's hot. Okay.
All right, cool. So you think she should get a show?
Yeah, why not? There's so much shit on TV. Give her a show. Why not?
All right. Well, another person who just came out at the beginning of the year, after 5 years of being off Instagram or social media, is Meghan Markle. January 1st, the Duchess of Sussex rejoined, and she announced she's going to be doing a Netflix show. Do you know this? It's like a cooking show. I couldn't. Yes. What is it?
She doesn't know what she does, but Netflix, I know from people that are aligned with Netflix, they're at their wit's end. This is her last shot. They have nothing else to offer. Everything they've done, her and Harry, has just went in the shitter. Nothing.
AJ, why does everybody hate them? Well, because, like, what is the problem?
Well, if you're anything like me, you just can't stand phony nonsense. And this girl seems to want us to believe that she's had life so tough and it's a bunch of bullshit. She's had a great life. She was a pretty girl. She still is attractive. She went and did some time on the yachting circuit and found some very wealthy men. She got the job on Suits. And of course, she's staking out Harry. She meets Harry. He falls for her. Probably had the best sex of his life with a mixed girl. I'm sure Harry never went on that side of the pool. He flips out. And now she's a princess. But no, it didn't work out that way because she thought that she could be as big as Diana. She thought she could be as influential as Diana. And she'll never get close to Diana. I was around when Diana was big or when she was really making noise. And Diana knew how to play the press better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And Meghan Markle is just a phony. She's a phony and everybody sees right through it. And it makes us all want to see Harry be happy again because he's not happy.
Well, so that's what's interesting is that they're taking Harry's side like he is not complicit in what they've done. Like they make it, everybody makes it seem like she forced him to move back to America. She forced him to relinquish his role and to get into television. She forced him to have children. I don't believe that that's
true. It's not true. I'll tell you something the famous producer and womanizer Robert Evans told me. And I'm going to say something a little blue here. So hold your virgin ears. But he said to me that a one single female pubic hair is stronger than the Atlantic cable. So if your girl, wife, girlfriend wants to do what she wants to do, and you're so enamored and turned on and just over the moon for her, you'll do anything she wants. Mm-hmm. Harry didn't call the shots. I think Harry was complicit in wanting to make her happy because he thought she'd be the end all to his life. Mm-hmm. But no. I still see Harry riding a motorcycle in England and not being in LA anymore. I think he'd be much happier doing civilian work, the stuff he did and still does. I think that's where his real passion lies, not in being this person in LA. Look, all of Hollywood has dropped them. No one in Hollywood hangs out with them anymore. They've proven themselves to be the kind of people who tell stories about famous people. And that's one surefire way to get you excommunicated out of the Hollywood circuit. No one in Montecito hangs out with them. So Meghan even couldn't get the stupid, I think they said the picture she posted of her kids was AI generated a little bit. And then when she came back to Instagram after 7 years, I mean, what a gutsy move. What an amazing thing. She goes and writes 2025 on the beach with her finger in the sand. Meanwhile, it was like the third take because as she's running, you could see take one and take two as she started to write 2025 and the water came and erased it. So they can't even get that right. It's just so simple. They can't get it. They can't get out of their own way. And so
I watched the trailer to this thing that she posted for Netflix, and it looks like a cooking show done in her kitchen where she has some celebrities joining her and then they're making candles. I cannot imagine that anyone is going to watch this. Maybe the first episode just to see what happens. But that is like the worst thing she could have chosen. A cooking show. I just had Carney Wilson on who also just started a cooking show. Like
Carney's, I love Carney's crazy. I know Carney from years ago. Boy, is she still cursing like a sailor, Carney?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She's wild. But no, listen, when your star is waning in Hollywood, and mine did, and they come to you with these ideas, and cooking shows are very prominent. Do you cook at all? Can you cook? Yeah, I cook. Well, you know, there might be a show there. You cooking with celebrity. It's the easiest thing they finally funnel you down into. Look, you want to see Meghan Markle and you want to have fun watching? Go watch the sex scenes in Suits from several years ago. That's the only time you're going to enjoy watching her work. Otherwise, it's all boring. And I got to tell you, I know we talked about this the other day. What is happening to all? Well, Ozempic is huge. Okay, fine. But all these women who were, well, Meghan was never big chested, but Katy Perry's tits are gone. Meghan Markle is flat as a sixth grade girl. DiCaprio's girlfriend, Soretti, flat as a board. Bradley Cooper and Gigi Hadid. What's going on? Brad Pitt and Inez. Inez is pretty. But again, no curves. Is it that these men just want to be the center of attention and not have to think that their beautiful woman with curves is going to steal some limelight? What is happening to men?
Well, but that just might be your personal opinion, because let's look at like J-Lo, for example. She can't keep a man. She wants to, and she's got a lot of curves. So
a lot of ass.
I get what you're saying. But I think that like model look is coming back. I mean, I remember way back when that look was very prevalent, and then it became the curvy thing and it was okay to have curves. Now it seems like with what you brought up with Ozempic being so big, 2024, it was like the year of Ozempic. You had not to be skinny. If you were fat, you couldn't get a prescription. It was who can't get a prescription? You got to be skinny. So, I just don't think curves are in a man's mind anymore for the most part.
No, men, look, come on, Rach. You're a curvy chick. We love curves. You've done very well with your curves. Men love that. We don't
like my curves are not natural, but I would never
take
them out.
Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Please don't take them out. No, don't.
I never would. I like them.
Oh my God. When girls take them out, I mean, I want to light a candle in my bedroom window, like because I'm sick. No, please. I want to go to church and light a candle. Katy Perry was a top heavy, bouncy, fun, sexy chick. She's disappeared. Christina Aguilera lost a lot of weight. I think she looks sexy as hell. I do. Right. I just do. She was big for a while.
She's a very little girl.
I like them little. Little's cute. You know, little's okay. But curves, if you can pack curves in 5'2", more power to you. But I just feel like these men feel like they want to be the more beautiful of the pair. DiCaprio, look, I don't know. My algorithm is different than yours and Instagram, but I don't even like these pictures of pretty girls who come bouncing on Instagram, but they're always on my screen. There are 1,000 girls sexier on Instagram that Bradley Cooper and DiCaprio and these guys could be with than the women they stay with in Hollywood. I don't get it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I hear you. It'll be interesting to see what the new trends and fads are, because I think a couple of years ago, it was cool to be big. Like I just
big. So, oh, no, it, cool to be fat.
No, but bigger, meaning fuller figure, a size 6 was fine.
That's fine.
You know, just before the show, I got a call from a friend of mine who's like, oh, thank God I'm finally down to a 00. I'm going shopping on Worth Avenue for some new dresses and pants. And I said, oh, is that a good thing? She's like, I've been trying to get to this weight since college. So yes.
So what's next? Baby Gap? Where do they go after that? Baby Gap?
Yeah.
No, but what are you, like a 2?
Yeah, I'm a 2.
2. See, that's sexy. I don't know. I mean, everybody's different. Like Marilyn Monroe was a 10 or a 12. Think about that.
I don't know that you would think maybe she looked great.
She looked good to me.
But I think a 10 or a 12 back then is different than now. It must have been, because she did not look like a typical 10 or 12.
My mother was just like Monroe's body, a 12, 10, 12, big top, you know, very beautiful woman in her youth. I mean, it comes in and out. Fashions, but I came aboard with the big soup, the Cindy's, Naomi's, and Claudia's, and all those curvy women. And now you've got the Bella and Gigi's, and it just doesn't feel the same to me.
Right.
So hopefully it'll change. But these guys, I think they got to step up their game. I have yet to see a man lately with a woman that I go, wow, he outkicked the coverage on this one. No. Haven't seen it in a while.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes out for this year and see who shows up on your radar.
By the way, you with a new boyfriend. This is breaking news, is it not?
A little bit of breaking news. Yeah, I don't talk about it a lot.
Okay. All right.
Just with you. I'm not going to tell too many details. I'll tell you privately.
It's okay.
But it is a new thing. And, good. 5 months in or whatever. But listen, I'm somebody who wants to be in a relationship. You know this about me.
I know.
Yeah. So I'm very happy.
I always listen to your Instagram, the music you play behind your videos or pictures. It's like, I always read into the music. I'm into that. I get it. Like there's hidden meaning in the music. Not even that hidden. You're kind of saying what kind of guy you like and what you want. And I always laugh. I'm like, fucking Rachel, she's just going for it. She don't give a shit. She just tells people, here's what I'm looking for. Come get it.
That is true. All right. Well, okay. Let's go back to something that's really interesting. You came out as somebody who was one of the first people to break the Jamie Foxx story.
I was the guy.
That's what I'm saying. All right. So you remind people what you came out and originally said.
back in May of that year, a friend of mine who has a private jet, I never disclosed his name, also was a friend of Jamie's, and he told me he went to go see Jamie in Chicago and stopped to see another friend. So he went to go to hospital to see two friends who were sick. And he said when he saw Jamie, he was partially blind and partially paralyzed. And this was early on in his hospital stay. This guy would never lie to me. He's never lied to me. So I know he told the truth. And it was about the fact that Jamie got the COVID shot. Didn't want to get it, but got it. And then fell ill, which a lot of people had that experience in those unfortunate days. So I reported that. I've never had a story in the last 8 years that went around the world. I mean, I was getting called by the newspapers in India. It was insane.
Right.
And Jamie Foxx had kept saying, no, his daughter spoke out about me. She called me some white guy, said my dad was blind. And he was. She lied and said he's playing pickleball, which is a big bullshit lie. Right. And now I was listening to people in the last few months say, Jamie Foxx's comedy special on Netflix, he says that Diddy got him sick. Diddy poisoned him. And I'm watching people, comedians I know very well, and they're just saying this, which takes us back to the earlier point of people just saying shit on podcasts. And I go, that's bullshit. He would never say that. He would never say in public, Diddy poisoned me. And of course, if you watch his special, he doesn't say that. So I feel vindicated. He did say he couldn't move. He did say how bad it was. But for him to say, I asked for an aspirin, I asked for an Advil, and then I was out for whatever it was, 10, 15, 20 days. It's just bullshit. It's a bullshit story. He stuck to it. He's never came at me, although there was a phone call placed by his people to my people about that story. Then they dropped it. Because I said to my producer, I'm not backing off this story. I know for a fact it's true. And they walked away. And that's a victory for a journalist whenever they walk away when you say, no, not backing down. Never heard from them again. So look, I think Jamie Foxx, and I've said this many times, is the most talented guy in Hollywood. Singing, dancing, comedy, drama, athletic movies, you name it. Oscar winner. Jamie Foxx is amazing. And I hate that he got sick. I'm glad he's healthy again. But, you know, my job has always been to tell the truth. And I don't think it's about Diddy at all, although I think Jamie did see a lot of things during those Diddy nights. And God, this story, I hope this thing ends in a trial that we can have. The irony of the Diddy trials, it's going to start the same day as the Met Ball. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Right? When is this? March or May?
Early May. Is it first Monday, May? Something like that.
Yeah, but it's like May 5th. May 5th,
yeah. So that's hopefully it all works out from now till then and we get to see this trial because I still have a sinking feeling that he's not going to get the kind of time he deserves because I'd known Diddy. We all came up together in the early 90s. I always told people he's dangerous. There are people dead because of Diddy. I said that publicly years ago. And now all this comes to light. And I was with Diddy when he was cheating on Jennifer Lopez. And I remember going, why is he at this pool? But I was at my ex-girlfriend's house in the Hamptons. He stopped over with this young girl. And I'm like, he's with Jennifer Lopez. And he's with this young, looked like a freshman in college. What is he doing? She wasn't even that hot. And J-Lo at that point was, you know, the pinnacle of sexy, you know, Boricua, Puerto Rican passion.
Right.
And I just said, this guy's no good. He's a real fucking weird guy.
Did you ever ask him like what he was doing?
No, that day I was not even writing for the newspaper anymore, but he knew me. And he went to my ex-girlfriend and kind of said, is it cool that I'm here? And she goes, he doesn't do that anymore. Don't worry about it. And I never said it. I had avenues to give it to people. I never sold it or said it to anybody. I could have called Page Six. I let him have his fun. But now that the wagons are circling him, he really should do a lot of time. But I just have a sinking suspicion that it's not going to be as long as we think he should get.
Wait, on a side note, because you brought that up, do you think there's some truth to the fact that when powerful women are the girlfriends, and men cheat, like you're talking about, do you think it's just because they think that woman is a pain in the ass and she's no longer in her female energy? I mean, why is it that you hear about so many men that are married to or dating powerful, beautiful women in the news, in the forefront, they do things behind their back. And you would think, as a woman, you're thinking, no one's better than this one.
Unfortunately, it's a biological thing, and it sucks to hear this, and it sucks to say this as a man, but you can be with the love of your life or the girl that turns you on more than anything, and you still turn your head. You still look and go, oh my God, she looks amazing. Oh, Jesus, what a body on that girl. It's just the way guys are. It's just the way, and women don't understand. We talk that way all the time. Locker room talk, grabbing by the pussy. I know it sounds gross. A lot of men do this. And the ones who say they don't are full of shit because they don't want to get their wives angry at them. Men talk this way. And some men have a big enough ego that they think they can wander off, take down that girl, because that woman probably wants to fuck that guy because he's famous and rich and powerful. Mm-hmm. There's something in it for her. There's something in it for his ego. It's a shitty thing, but unfortunately, it's biological. And I can't stand that it happens, but it does happen.
But as beautiful as a girl, I understand the biology of looking and being attracted to somebody else, but the biology of the acting on it and cheating, do you think that all men cheat?
No, I don't think that. No, but I think that there are some men who've had an easy time of it. I had an easy time of it when I was younger and handsome, and I could go anywhere and find somebody I liked. It wasn't hard. Mm. And then when you realize that, you go, I also like being with someone too. I like that feeling of being with a girlfriend.
Right.
And then that lizard brain kicks in and go, well, if I take care of her and we're really doing great, what's the difference if I go out once in a while and, you know, grab a girl here and there, if she's into it and I'm into it. I still love my girlfriend. I know it's a shitty way of thinking, but it's also a younger, I don't think that way now, but when I was younger, I thought that doesn't mean anything. She right. wants to have fun. I want to have fun. And also, if you have any kind of power or weight in the industry or recording star, athlete, whatever, power is all relative. You just, it's hard to put down that gavel and go, I don't need to do that anymore. Men always like to check in and see if they still got it.
Right. Okay.
It sucks. Okay. It sucks. But hopefully the good ones don't. But a lot of us were that way for years until we got straight.
I get it. Let's go back to Diddy for a second. Do you think that this year is going to bring a downfall for a lot more people that we are not aware of right now?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't.
Do you think
like
he's going to give that up to save himself, or you think these people are just going to have lawsuits that are starting to trickle
out?
The
reason why I think that he's not going to get the time he deserves is because I've heard that he's been complying with the feds for years, that he has given them information on people for years, and they've kind of kept him in a good light and overlooked some of the bullshit he was involved in because of the fact that he supplied them with information. You know, we go back to early 91 or 92 when all those, I think four or five people died at a party. He promoted a concert. He promoted in New York City. They couldn't get out of the exits. I think five people died on a party he was promoting. And I think after that, he began to cooperate. But yeah, unfortunately, there are people that have already made deals and bought the videotapes that they heard the feds had, because the feds have contacted people. Look, you're on video. I still think J-Lo's on video, and I think that played a reason why her and Ben broke apart, but they're still close. You can see they still talk. She still sees his kids and vice versa. So I think that was somewhat of a career move for him. I can't be around you. You're poison right now. It's going to come out. So many people are able to buy these videos and save their names, but there are others that are going to get trampled and they're going to be dragged across the public forum. It's not going to be as many people as we think, because deals are being cut all the time, every single day. And all those people got money to burn, and it's not an object. They can easily pay people off. Give me the tape. This can't get out. What do you need? How many millions? You know, so we're going to see some people, but I don't think it's going to be the magnificent amount that it could have been.
Are you hearing anything behind the scenes about people that we have never heard their names in this light that you think are going to come out?
Yeah, I do. But I don't know necessarily if they were involved in the sex as much as they were involved in being complicit with what was going on in the room and the house at that point. There are people watching. But no, I've heard stories about DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire and, you know, Ashton Kutcher. My God, he was around a lot. I would not be surprised if Ashton and Mila Kunis move out of America and go someplace far away, because they've had a rough go of it.
I think I read that they were moving to Spain or something.
Yeah, between Danny Masterson and this bullshit, Ashton's got to get out of town. I'm not sure that marriage survives either because of the shit that goes on. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there are going to be people that come out that have big names, but you know, Hollywood is such a fucked up town. I was close with Harvey Weinstein in the respect that I talked to him every week. I went to all the parties. Harvey called me all the time. He gave me my book deal, bought the movie rights. He was so good to me. And as good as a reporter as I was and am, I never heard about him raping a woman. I heard he got laid. I heard he gets women. They want, you know, the typical Hollywood casting couch shit. So I didn't even know that. And some friends of mine think I'm lying. I'm not lying. I think he's a scumbag. He's my friend, but if he raped one girl, go away. Fuck you. You're a pig. I got a wife and a daughter. I can't hear that shit. But there are people in Hollywood who knew about this, like the Ellens and the Clooney. So many people went to these parties that you start to hear things like, I heard there's at night, these things go on all night. And the next day, and you walk away and go back to your big mansion and you forget you heard it. But yes, those things were heard. And I think, look, I don't think Ellen DeGeneres or Oprah was having sex, but I think guys like T.D. Jakes maybe were in some compromising positions. And the scariest thing is going to be that the people who didn't know they were on tape, and after watching these videos, the feds can see that these people had no idea. And that's going to be what really nails him.
Right.
The people who didn't know. You can't do that. That's awful.
I agree. All right. So we'll be tuning in May or up till May to see what happens.
Yeah.
And what do you think with the Jay-Z lawsuit?
Well, the girl had some timeline problems. I believe that when she said something happened to her, I don't think Jay-Z and P. Diddy were even in the same state on that night.
Right.
So she's got some issues.
I did see an interview with her lawyer, which seemed really believable. He said he had almost over 60 people come to him to hire him for, you know, something against Jay-Z. And he only took her case and I think two others, something like that, because hers was so credible. I had never heard of this lawyer. I don't know what his track record is. I don't know what his, you know, I don't know anything about him. So I don't know why he picked her. But I did hear that there was some timeline issues. Doesn't mean she's lying. I will tell you, I don't remember stuff that happened to me last week, even if it was dramatic. So,
of course, I know.
You know, I think memory is, you know, can be something that is iffy, but we'll see what happens.
That night in question, I said to my audience on my show that I was at that show. It was probably the last year I went to those award shows because I was out of journalism. I was in LA working in TV, but I still got invited to things. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went to that, but I really couldn't be sure if I went. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I think I was there, but that's going to be a lot of people's memory. You think you remember, but you don't quite remember. But Jay-Z, look, of course his feet were close to the fire. You could just see the way Beyonce's sister treated him that night in the elevator. You can see that Beyonce and him, there just seems to be a little bit of a split, not divorce, not separation, but they seem to be doing things on their own a little bit, like just to distance themselves for a little time. I don't think Jay-Z's absolutely guilty as Diddy, but I think he certainly was around and was there and either took part or witnessed the kind of shit that Diddy was doing. I don't think anybody was as crazy as Diddy. I don't think Jay-Z has that gene in him. Diddy has that gene. Diddy's a wild man. You know, guns and drugs, and it goes so much further than this. We're talking about putting hits on people, and is he the reason why Biggie's dead? I always thought it was with that whole procession of cars and Diddy in the other truck. It just, nothing sounded right to me.
I mean, from that all the way to, I don't know if you remember that doctor, Ryan Frank, I think is his name. He was the doctor that did Cassie's
Good
job.
Right.
He soon after died. She got out of surgery and Puffy said, take these out immediately. He said, I can't. Yeah. You have to wait a little bit. It'll kill her.
Right.
Could kill her if I take these out. He made him take them out. And he's the same doctor that did all of Spencer Pratt's wife. What was her name?
Yeah, Heidi.
Heidi Montag. He did her full body.
She looked good. Heidi looked good.
They were very good friends with him. They said he never texted and drive. Somehow he
I know.
Coming out of his own driveway. Yeah.
No. Look at Kim Porter. Mm-hmm. I knew Kim. You know, we all came up together in that era. Al B. Shore was a great friend of mine. Andre Harrell was a friend of mine. They, you know, Al B. didn't die, but was in a coma for a long time, almost died. Andre Harrell died of a heart attack. Heavy D, who was at Bad Boy Records, died. Kim Porter died of pneumonia. And I tell this story, I don't know if I told you, but maybe in like 2000, I'm back in New York at some club and I see Kim Porter with another girlfriend. And I thought Kim was really sexy and pretty. And she was kind of looking at me and I never met her. And sure enough, her girlfriend comes by and says, "Why don't you sit with us?" All right. I go sit with them and I'm having a good time with Kim and we're flirting. And at the end of the night, she says, "Take my number. Let's get together one night." And I remember saying to her, and my nephew was with me, I said, "What are we going to do? You're Puffy's girl." And she goes, "Don't worry about that. That's not even a thing." And I remember going, "Wow, I'm not sure what that means, but I don't want to get I wanted to be with Kim, but I'm like, nah, don't call. There's too many other things going on. Don't call." And I didn't call. But it was almost like I would have learned then that either he doesn't care or he likes boys more than women. I don't know. But she just laughed when I said, "You're Puffy's girl. What are we going to do? Don't worry about him." That was 25 years ago.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So it's been happening a long time.
Very interesting. All right. So I want to wrap up by asking you what your thoughts are for predictions for 2025. For me, I will say I've noticed that I think this year is going to be a year of comebacks. I only have started to notice this, though, because I mean, we're having a lot of problems. There's going to be a lot of violence. There's going to be a lot of like stress. But people that were canceled or had a very difficult time in the last couple of years, I'm talking about Armie Hammer. You know, people like this, all of a sudden you see Rolling Stone magazine just came out with something about him now. He's openly talking about that.
I love him. I listen to his show. It's great.
Oh, great. So I've always, by the way, I've always been on his side. I mean, he got ruined for something that may have been a fetish. It's not like he acted on it. He's not a cannibal. And so I never understood why these girls got to come out, publish things that were intimate and private and sexual, whatever. It's not like he ate anybody. So I really didn't understand why this was so terrible.
Because the Me Too movement had just had a remarkable run and they were trying to wrap up any guy and a lot of women out there who had, you know, some enterprising ideas thought, "Hey, I dated him. He was kind of weird. I could say some stories about maybe get a payday." But I'll tell you, you know, I remember when I first got divorced in like, in the early, 1991, right? And I met this first girlfriend from Staten Island, a really tough Italian chick, sexy as all get out. And she would say things to me and I would say things back to her in kind of like that. I would say like, "God, you're so fucking hot. I want to choke you." Like stupid shit that if you hear that in the bedroom, you and the person get it.
Right.
But if you can't just read that statement in someone else's voice and not hear what the other person said in the bedroom. So if Armie Hammer said, "Oh God, I want to eat you."
Right.
I looked at it and said, "Yeah, I said stupid shit." Tom Segura and his wife, who have a great podcast, she admitted that Tom has said to her, "You're so beautiful. I want to throw your head into the dresser. I can't take how beautiful you look." Yes, it sounds weird, but you know, bedroom talk is different for everybody. Armie Hammer, gorgeous guy, brought up with like, you know, come on, the money for decades, for generations. Yeah, of course he can get what he wants. Happens to be very handsome, very talented. So they went to take him down. He was an easy target and he was a fool. He cheated on his wife. He became a cad. It was easy to hate him. But you know what? He's got 5 projects in development now. He leaves for Croatia next week, Philippines in the spring. The guy's got no agent, but has a lawyer. And somehow people have gotten in touch with him through Instagram to put him in movies. So he's coming back and he will be a comeback. And I'm glad he will be. I just think that, and I hope I see some comebacks. I do. But I think that 2024, like Cat Williams said on the Club Shay Shay podcast, is the year of the truth. And a lot of things that he said since then have come to fruition. And 2025, is just beginning, and everything from 2024 is rolling over, and there's going to be a lot more truths coming out, because I think we need it, because this there's so many people who've just been lied to. Mm-hmm. We've all been lied to for years about mm-hmm. things. You look at the UFOs now and all this shit going on. How do they not know? The guy was making ISIS videos hours before the New Orleans tragedy. The FBI saw it, and there was nothing they could do hours ahead of time. We've been lied to and fucked with for so long that mm-hmm. all these truths have to come out. The people who lied, I don't want to get political, but all the people who said some awful lies about Trump, Russian disinformation, they've got to be prosecuted or dragged through the street and shown to be the bullshit artists they were. And of course, Hollywood's not as important, but yeah, I'm glad. I think a lot's going to come to light, and we're going to be shocked. And finally, we're going to realize, like we've already started to, that Hollywood and the people there and the things they say and the people they promote doesn't mean shit.
Right. We're so smarter than they are. The people that have been held on a pedestal for decades, if not just years, are not necessarily, those stories are not true necessarily.
No,
and I love how you coined it, the year of the truth. I think that's really important. A lot of people's stories need to be reconsidered and seen in a new light.
You know, when you're wearing a nice outfit and someone tells you your slip is showing, it's an old phrase.
Okay.
Hollywood slip is showing. They don't realize how foolish they've looked. And now it's all going to come out about the lies and the bullshit artists. And, you know, it's all starting to come out, which we need.
One other area I saw this, People Magazine, I think, was the first to start the year off on this notion of the year of the truth. They had their cover stories, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. It's a story a couple of years ago came to light where we all heard a little rumblings about this girl who was of Russian descent. She was an orphan. She was adopted, and her adoptive parents said she was a complete psycho. I mean, I'm using their words, they're not mine. And ID shared her story a couple of years ago. They're doing part two. It comes out January 6th and January 7th about what really happened to her in her own words. And it's very fascinating. Was she a girl? Was she an 8-year-old girl who was completely left alone and abused? Or was she an adult feigning that she was a child and she was, you know, using it for nefarious reasons? So it'll be very interesting.
It's the craziest story. And I remember when it happened, I had COVID and I was like having fever dreams and it was a bad time. And I remember reading that story or hearing about it and going, this is the most frightening thing in the world. It reminds me when people go to a foreign country and think they're taking back a puppy. But when they get home, they realize it's like a big rat from some part of the world, you know, and they smuggle it on the airplane. This is like you wake up and Chucky is in your house, mm-hmm. you know, and I do a poker show in Vegas with Jennifer Tilly, who's a poker player. Mm-hmm. And of course, she was in the Bride of Chucky movies. And we laughed about this, saying this Natalia Grace is like living with Chucky, this little midget dwarf, whatever, grown person. It is the scariest story, and I can't wait to see it on, it's on Discovery, right? ID?
It's on ID, yeah.
Yeah, in the next few days. Yeah, it's a fascinating story. I mean, first of all, it's even stories in there about her having sex with a regular-sized man. It's so sordid.
With her adopted father.
Her adoptive father.
Yeah.
If you've ever been turned, I mean, look, you've got to have some kink in you if you're turned on by a little person. It's just a... I can't even imagine it. I talk about curves. I can't even get into it.
Oh my God. Wait a minute. Speaking of adopted fathers and children, how did Woody Allen get through this unscathed for so long? People still love him, right? Or is he just, he's out of it?
I covered that extensively. I was sent up to Bedford Falls and to try to find Sun Yi when it all came to fruition. I was working at New York Newsday and I infiltrated the dorm room and went to the house where Mia Farrow and her adoptive father lived, the conductor. I forget his name now, but anyhow, look, I love Woody Allen's movies. I grew up on them. He's a genius.
I love them too.
And I was in New York and I was at all the New York Knicks games and Woody Allen goes to every game with Sun Yi. It's over 30 years. Obviously they have such true love, these two, that if you're still angry, I'm not. And I watched all the documentaries and I know Ronan Farrow and I saw everything and I'm sorry. I don't think their stories hold up. I think he definitely had an unnatural attraction to a younger girl that really was never with him. She was with Mia Farrow all the time. She didn't live with Woody. I know it's weird, and the Polaroids are fucking disgusting. But Soon-Yi loved the attention he gave her because Mia didn't like her, apparently. It's such a deep story, but the little girl who told stories about the train tracks up in the attic, and he was that doesn't work with me. It all fell apart during that documentary. So right. I have nothing against Woody Allen. I just, the guy's, what is he, 85 now? He doesn't make good movies anymore. But Woody Allen, I like the fact that he said, I'm a real New Yorker. I mean, Woody Allen was getting just hounded. And they're going to, he's going to leave New York. He's not going to go to the Knicks games. He said, no, no, it's my city. I'm not going anywhere. Right. I loved him for that. And we hounded him for years and he stuck around. He stuck it out. And in the end, he wins. And his book was great. If you ever get a chance to peruse his book from a couple of years ago, it's great.
It's interesting. Now that you're talking, I'm almost thinking the 2025 into 26 may end up being the year of the man. Because, ooh. I mean, we just saw like Luigi, this guy who goes and kills somebody, you know, the United Healthcare CEO, and people are, you know, making him into a hero. Obviously because of people's beliefs, but a lot because people are obsessed with the way he looks. So, and then it started, I think, with Johnny Depp, the tide was changing a little bit where people no longer were siding with the woman. So yeah. it is very interesting. And
it's high time that happens. Obviously Johnny didn't do the shit Luigi did. I don't consider Luigi a hero. I can't stand that he's Italian, but look, we talked about sex before and how men are. Understand, this whole thing happened because he had very bad back surgery. And because of that back surgery, apparently he couldn't get it up. Sex was not enjoyable. That drove him bananas. And that's the core reason why he did what he did. I know he's brilliant and said a lot of things in his writings, but that's at the core of this. And I think that I'm going to wrap this up by saying the year of the truth, 2024. I coined an expression that I think this year is going to be Karmageddon. I think a lot of people are going to get the karma they've deserved for a long time. It's already happening in dribs and drabs, but I think that's what's going to wash over the next year or so. And we're going to really feel more clean when we think and talk about Hollywood than we ever were in the past.
I love that. I hope that does happen. And we'll have to revisit this mid-year to see how it's going.
Yes, we will.
All right, AJ, always a great time having you. Love you
so much.
You're
going to run away and get married now? You're going to elope? What are you going to do?
I don't know. We'll have to see. You'll have to check it.
Oh, my goodness.
When do I get to come on your show?
Oh, you know what? Let's do that.
Let's do it now. And before we go, I was actually telling AJ about some people that I have on my show next week. And I brought up, I'm going to be interviewing Anthony Weiner. I have him coming on the 8th because I wanted to get his view after January 6th happens and like a whole year in review, but also obviously hear about his scandal. You know what's interesting about Anthony Weiner? He was so good at what he did.
I know.
Thought he would have been a brilliant politician.
Yeah.
And he just screwed it up because he was
terrible at relationships and he had
a sex problem. But you know what's interesting about him? He is somebody who ruined his life and his career and his personal life with his wife over women he never touched.
I know.
Did you ever realize that?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
He never met any of these women.
I'll tell you, when I was dating, I ran into a problem, and I think a lot of men do, because social media, and back when he did it, it was in its infant stages. Uh-huh. Now, there were just so many images, not to mention OnlyFans, which I don't subscribe to, but there's so many areas where a man can have company or see sexy women and get the kind of talk in their ear that they don't get at home, whatever. Women can do it too, but I think it's more prevalent for men. And it's really interesting. Yeah, he never even touched the women, but you just wonder, I'm not saying he's right, but what, was there anything lacking in that relationship that he had to seek out attention from strangers? Is Uma Abedin a cold woman? I don't know. I'm not saying she did anything wrong, but every relationship is different. Right. He had it. I'm not even a Democrat, and I would have voted for that guy in New York. He was that good. Yeah. You know?
Well, I'm interested to hear what he's up to. You know what I mean?
He has a podcast on WABC. He can come back. He's on radio. Yeah. You know what? I just finally started doing my show on a different platform. So now I can have people on the show. And I had someone on last week, and I'm going to have you definitely next. Let's figure it out. We just talked about a bunch of stuff. So We'll talk during the week and we'll figure out a date. But yeah, I'll definitely have you on. It'll be a lot of fun.
Perfect. AJ, it's always a pleasure. Tell people where they can listen to your shows. Just, you have a bunch of them.
I have a bunch of shows. My main show is Fame is a Bitch. Unfortunately, it's no longer free. It's behind a Patreon wall, a paywall, but it's patreon.com/fame is a bitch. Everything is a Bitch is free. So is Relationships is a Bitch is free. And Politics is a Bitch is also behind a paywall. But I'm at it about 8 years. And I'm not slowing down. I still got a lot more to say. So I know you do too. So let's hope this keeps going on, man.
And can people find you on Instagram? Do you?
Yeah, I don't really do. I mean, I post pictures of family and dogs. I don't really do anything crazy on Twitter.
Okay, so if people want to hear your opinions, they got to be listening to your podcast.
Or you know what? You can even, I get back to anybody. Anybody can email me at popebenza@gmail.com. I never not respond to anybody who talks to me or asks me a question or what have you. So I'm always there. If you want to hear anything or ask a question, I'm right there.
AJ has the best insight and opinions and gossip. So
I love talking to you. I feel like I'm at the Beverly Hills Hotel with your background.
I know.
I love it. Or Indochine in New York City. Either way, I'm happy.
Right. Exactly.
I love it.
All right. Well, I love you and we will talk
soon. Love
you
too. See you, sweetheart. Bye, baby.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.